Hello, most of you will have heard a recording that I did with a young lady called Phyllis Walstow, who is at the ripe old age of 102. Two. Looking forward to being 103.
Well, I don't know.
She did a very...
A day at a time.
A day at a time. She did a very lovely recording about her memories from when she was a child. You lost your dad in the First World War, didn't you?
Yes.
So you didn't know him?
No.
No. And your mum brought you up in Manchester?
Yes, my grandma.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And then later you adopted a daughter?
Yes.
But after the recording, you said you had good memories of the Second World War.
Yes, because I lived through that.
Yes, so today we're just going to talk a little bit about what happened in Manchester.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was very badly bombed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where were you working then?
Probably still in the post office, yeah.
Yeah. Because that
was the Second World War.
Yeah.
It started in 1939, and it ruined everybody's life in 1939, really. Yeah.
So you would be 35 then, wouldn't you?
Yes. Yeah.
25, sorry.
25,
sorry.
I thought it sounded wrong.
I 25. Can't add up. So you were 25 and 25. War was declared.
And of course, we weren't ready for the war. Straight away, it knew it was going to be fought in the air.
Yeah.
So straight away, we were instructed, you know, as how to keep as safe as we could in our own homes. But there was a lot of damage done. Straight away, they started bombing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just thinking it was the beginning of September and we were given instructions. You had to have blackout curtains, cover your windows, there to be no lights showing. And they came to see who lived in the house and you didn't have to have any visitors or anybody to stay. In case the house was bombed, they didn't want to be looking for people that were non-existent.
Yeah.
So it was very, very stern, very severe. You didn't have to move, you had to stay put. And we were very fortunate because I lived about 5 or 6 miles out of Manchester and we didn't get the bombing that they did in the city. The city was very badly bombed. Places I think of as a little girl, you know, no longer exist.
So you were living with your mum at this time?
Yes, it was just my mother and I.
Yeah.
My brother had got married and gone.
Yeah.
And it was just my mother and I. My mother was deaf, so I couldn't, I couldn't leave her because we used to hear they all clear.
Yeah.
Well, no, first of all, you got the warning. Now, we lived in Audenshaw, which is a few miles out of Manchester, and we lived in a semi-detached house, and the people whose garden met ours at the bottom, they were a couple with two little children. So he built an air raid shelter.
Yeah.
Under the ground, he dug the garden up.
Yeah.
And we shared it with them.
Right.
So we spent a lot of time. We had steps down into this hole in the ground, really.
Yeah. Were the bombings mostly at night?
Yes, yeah, it was mostly at night. You'd just get settled after tea and we'd say, oh, sirens.
Yeah.
Sometimes it was quite late. You know, you went in your dressing gown because you'd like sometimes gone to bed when the warning went. Very often it was at night. And, of course, you had to get out. In winter time, we were given instructions to stay in. We had never had to have a light showing. You couldn't have a light showing, or else you got the air raid wardens knocking at your door to say there's a light in your bath, showing in your bathroom or showing in the toilet, you know. So you were always on pins when the air raid warning went, and very often, you know, you got a warm coat on over your nightie and went to the shelter if you felt it was going to be a bad night.
And did that go on for 4 years, all through the war?
Yes. Yeah, from 1939, And they started straight away with the bombing. We could see from my... We had a fairly big garden, and I could stand at our garden gate and watch Manchester burning. You could see the flames going up. But they had a very good fire service. They managed to get it under control. But there was a lot of damage done. Yeah. A lot of buildings that I can remember as a little girl, you know, no longer exist. Yeah. When they rebuilt it after the war, a lot of Manchester was rebuilt. Like Marks and Spencers was hit. A nice big new Marks and Spencers, and that was brought to the ground. A lot of the, you know, buildings that made Manchester.
Yeah, historic,
you know,
buildings.
Historical buildings were, you know, got on fire or they were burnt out.
And was a lot killed in Manchester?
Pardon?
A lot of people killed, were there?
Oh, yes, a lot of people were killed.
Yeah.
The nearer the city you were, the worse it was, really, because it was the city that they were bombing. We lived about 5 or 6 miles out of Manchester.
Yeah.
And although we had a big open space behind us that they called Ashton Moss, where they used to grow celery and salad stuffs, there were one or two bombs dropped there, as though they didn't take them back, so they had to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And it was on this spare piece of ground, but we had one or two craters.
Did you actually see one of these bombs after it had dropped?
We didn't see them drop.
No.
No, we heard them.
You heard them. Yeah.
Because we had to be in the shelter or be somewhere safe. But you heard the crack, you know, but fortunately, they didn't hit any houses. They sort of dropped the bombs in this open space. We weren't just where I lived. We didn't get any houses bombed.
No.
But just a mile or two further down the road towards Manchester, it was a city that they wanted to destroy. Yeah.
And you'd have rationing as well.
Oh, yes. Straight away we got rationing books. You got a gas mask and rations in the first 12 weeks of the war starting. Rations, 2 ounces of marge, 4 ounces of margarine and 2 ounces of butter. That was like your fat ration.
Yeah.
And I think it was 2 eggs.
Yeah.
Bread was rationed. When things got worse, there was more stuff rationed. In the end, I think you were allowed a small loaf each week. So my mother and I, between us, had a loaf, you know, an ordinary loaf.
Yeah.
And that had to last a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you grow food in your garden?
No. This big piece of land I'm talking about, Ashton Moss, it grew vegetables, salad vegetables. So we were always able to get, until things got very bad, we could buy celery and lettuce and that weren't rationed. You see, but everything else like bread, butter, meat, fish, everything else was rationed.
Yeah.
know.
And did a lot of women have to change their job?
Yes, a lot of women went to the job they did. Well, a lot of women were put on munitions. There was one age range, younger women. But if they were married, it didn't make any difference. If you were a younger woman, you had to do the... It was really making bombs and whatnot.
Yeah. So they would be doing the men's work, heavy work.
Yes.
Yeah. And did your mum work?
No, my mother didn't work.
No.
She was very deaf, my mother, and I'm going like her. No, she was... She wasn't really fit. She wasn't a very strong person.
No.
No.
And was your brother in the forces?
No, he was... he just missed being called up. Only by a matter of months.
Right.
So he didn't go to the war. He did, like, night watch and that sort of thing, you know. But he worked during the war.
And you was at the post office?
Yeah.
But then you went teaching, didn't you?
Yes. I got the chance to... I don't know how it happened, really. But they were desperately short of teachers. But I had the qualifications from school, having passed a scholarship, you see. And I got enough qualifications to go in for teaching. Yeah. So I went to college for 12 months. It was 12 months hard work. But... we did a two-year course in 12 months, and then we were ready to teach.
Yeah. Was that in Manchester?
In Manchester, yeah. And so I stayed there till I retired.
Yeah.
I lived... my mother died. First of all, I adopted a girl. When I first started teaching, I taught at... Church of England school, and they had attached to it a children's home. But it wasn't through this children's home, it was through somebody I got to know that I heard about, you know, having children that you could bring up, give a chance in life. And I thought, well, I'd been lucky having my mum and grandma, and I'd passed a scholarship, and I got qualifications. And I felt it was something I could do. So I got Judith when she was about 9 years old, and she'd her daddy had died with a brain tumour, and her mother was crippled with arthritis. So she was without parents.
Yeah.
And I've offered to care for her, bring her up, which I've done.
Yeah.
She's now 70.
Yeah.
But she's not really the only relation I've got.
Yeah.
And her family.
Yeah. Well, that's been really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it interesting for you to look back?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I look back. I've had a lot of variety, both with getting involved with young people, going into teaching, which I loved. I loved teaching. And I stayed there till I retired.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll come back and talk to you in July.
Right.
When you have your big 103.
103.
103.
If I'm still here.
Oh, you'll still be here. Yeah. In case anybody didn't listen to the first one, Phyllis lives totally independently and does her own shopping. And I believe you go to an exercise class.
Yes.
So you're still very active.
Oh, yes. I think that's the thing to do, to keep going as long as you can.
Yeah.
Lately, my hearing's deteriorated and my eyesight's deteriorated. But physically, I'm all right.
You're fitter than me.
Yeah.
Anyway, Phyllis, thank you, and we'll talk again.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.